Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome back. Bill Gertz takes us each week on a most important tour. I call it Inside the Ring. That's the name of his prize-winning column at the Washington Times. He is also the senior editor at the Washington Free Beacon, an indispensable online resource. His commentaries and his visits with us are prized as well. Bill, welcome back. It's good to have you with us, as always.
Hi, Frank. Good to be on the program.
Bill, you've got a piece about the latest forays of Russian bear bombers into American-controlled airspace. What's the latest, and what's with this pattern of aggressive behavior by the Russians?
Well, what happened is basically this is a Free Beacon story today that the two Russian nuclear-capable bear bombers did a circumnavigation of the U.S. Pacific island of Guam, our key military strategic hub in Asia. No interceptors were sent up, and the Pentagon put out a big spin that this was not a big deal, and yet just this week a senior Pentagon official testified that Russia is stepping up nuclear saber-rattling around the world, and these kinds of bomber flights are part of that.
You know, Bill, we had a most interesting program sponsored by the Center yesterday. There will be a video of it shortly about the Comprehensive Test Ban Treaty, and it featured prominently one of your friends and mine, Dr. Mark Schneider, a longtime expert at the Pentagon on these matters. And he really warned about what the Russians are doing with respect to their nuclear programs, and said something very interesting, which I think is lost on most of us. And that is, he says, you know, if you get a president of the United States or another Western leader talking about nuclear weapons maybe once in their entire tenure, it's a big deal. He said Vladimir Putin is talking about it all the time, and usually in a very aggressive way. So why would the Pacific Command not send interceptors up against these bombers? And doesn't that invite more aggressive behavior still?
There's a lot of people that think that. It's clear that this is part of the politically correct policies of the Obama administration to try and play down all threatening military incidents. You know, the knee-jerk reaction of liberals like those that are running the Obama administration are that whenever some threatening strategic event happens, the immediate reaction is, well, the U.S. is worse. The U.S. does that. And so I think that's what's behind it. But it's clear that they need to take steps to counteract this Russian nuclear forces buildup. Another significant story that I reported earlier this week is that the Russians conducted the first successful test of a direct ascent anti-satellite missile. That is a missile capable of shooting down our strategic satellites in space. So clearly they're making all kinds of efforts to build up against the United States, which they regard as they did in the Soviet days, as the main enemy.
They're joined in this space anti-satellite and other sort of control race, if you will, one we're not participating in, as best I can tell, but certainly the Russians and the Chinese are. At the same time that they have been making much, those two nations, of the idea of having an arms control treaty that would prohibit such activities. To my astonishment, I must say, Bill, you reported that the Obama administration has come out against that treaty, though they do seem to be leaving the door open to some other kind of arms control in space. Give us a sense of what's going on with all of that.
Yeah, this was the result of a ASEAN regional forum meeting in Beijing this week, where Frank Rose, who's the Assistant Secretary of State for Verification, gave a speech in which he basically said the U.S. would not sign up to a Chinese-Russian proposal to ban weapons in space. It was a good thing. It was clear that Rose mentioned that the reason they won't, the U.S. doesn't support this proposal, is because both Russia and China are building anti-satellite, ground-launch anti-satellite missiles, which would not be covered by this proposed treaty that was first introduced back in 2008. So, yes, it is a good sign. But, again, I think it's part of the Russians and Chinese really playing off the fact that the Obama administration is so head over heels to do any kind of arms control agreement. So it is a good sign that they rejected it.
Bill, in terms of these kinds of accommodations, unfortunately, they're not confined to the kind of behavior you've just described. You've also been reporting this week that the U.S. government has basically told our commander on the South Korean peninsula that it will not respond favorably to his request for the deployment of the so-called terminal high-altitude anti-missile system, the THAAD, in defense of our forces there and our allies against North Korean or perhaps even Chinese missiles, out of a sense of deference, apparently, to the Chinese. Are we seriously now putting our own forces and our allies at risk out of this kind of misplaced, sycophancy, I think is the way I would think of it, towards the Chinese?
Absolutely. It's outrageous. Curtis Scaparotti, the Army General in charge of U.S. Forces Korea, in early last year made a formal request to the Pentagon for deployment of the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense, or THAAD, which is a very, very effective anti-missile defense system. And because the Chinese are opposing it, both the government of South Korea and the Pentagon civilian leadership has been dragging their feet in filling this request. I talked to the command spokesman this week, and he made it clear that they still want the system, and yet the response from the Pentagon is no decisions have been made, and they haven't even discussed it with the South Koreans. When Defense Secretary Ash Carter met the President of Korea as well as the Defense Minister of South Korea.
Bill, the Chinese put out a statement, and you covered it, that the U.S. government has agreed with them that it wasn't actually the Chinese or state-controlled hackers who broke into the Office of Personnel Management databases. It was a criminal gang of some kind. Is that in fact what our government has decided now, or is this just disinformation by the Chinese?
Well, here's what we know. The senior official in charge of the Ministry of Public Security of China was in Washington this week for talks on cybersecurity. And this is another one of those appeasement-oriented policies of the Obama administration where they're trying to find, quote, ways to cooperate with the Chinese. And they reached a whole series of agreements to do, to set up a hotline, to do law enforcement cooperation. But according to the Chinese press, the state-run Xinhua news agency, they said that the U.S. has agreed with China's perception of the OPM hack, which compromised records of 22 million federal workers, including some very sensitive security clearance background information, that this was a criminal hack attack, when in fact there is ample evidence that this was in fact a state-sponsored, Chinese government-sponsored data theft that's part of a massive effort to build a database on Americans. It's, again, one of the most outrageous policies I've seen, according to this administration.
But is it your understanding that the U.S. government has, in fact, taken a dive on this one, too?
Well, both spokesmen for the Justice Department and the Department of Homeland Security declined to comment when I asked them about it, and I pressed them very hard. Why aren't you responding to this? It's in the press. And the lack of response tells me that it's probably true. You have a situation where the Chinese Communist government is more open about their talks with the United States than the public affairs bureaus of the Obama administration.
Well, presumably it's they're uncomfortable actually confirming publicly the extent of their appeasement of the Chinese. And on this one, it really does seem as though the disregard for the security of that information, the privacy, to say nothing of the national security overtones of it, was bad enough. But if the administration is in fact capitulating to the Chinese assertions that they were not involved, that adds truly insult to injury. Bill, we have to let you go. Thank you so much for the great work you do at the Washington Free Beacon, at the Washington Times, and of course in our visits each week. We look forward to it next week. Stay well. Great weekend to you in the meantime. We're joined next by Elon Berman of the American Foreign Policy Council. We'll be talking about what the Russians and Iranians are up to and others. Straight ahead.
go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.